On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway, lays it in! Zach Levine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And
I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period. Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up at our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Matt, back for episode 2. Hopefully people are excited about this. I know we dropped our episode late on Monday, but if you're an early riser, now you've got 2 episodes to listen to, as this should be in your feed on Tuesday morning. Got a lot to talk about, Matt, here, and we want to continue to talk about the players and some of the things that they had to say, and same thing with Coach Donovan as well. But the one thing we did get to on the last episode, man, that is just kind of a one-off thing is, dude, what's going on with your boy Scottie Pippen? Like, what's going on with him, man?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? I think Scottie, in these comments recently, what was the interview he did again? Like, who was it with? All I've seen is just a bunch of pull quotes that people have started blasting all over social media. But the gist of it that I've gotten is Scottie was not a huge fan of the Last Dance documentary and thought that it was not an accurate portrayal of everything that was accomplished in what Scottie called, you know, a great era of NBA basketball, and that it was essentially a piece that was made by Jordan to build his own image and kind of bolster his image as people have started to talk about LeBron rivaling MJ for the throne of the GOAT. And guess what? He's not wrong. That is plain and simple. Scottie ain't wrong. That's exactly what that documentary was. Did I love every second of it? You betcha. Is that also
I like to associate myself with winning.
Exactly. Like, Scottie has every right to be pissed. He and a lot of MJ's teammates were not portrayed in a very positive light compared to MJ.
That is true. That is very, very true. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing in his personal life either, but that's a completely different story. That's been another headline across Twitter and
Instagram. Mean what, like Larsa hanging out with Malik Beasley or whatever?
Yeah, that was kind of where I was going with it, and I was like, I don't know what he's doing, man, but yeah,
they have from the random TMZ articles that have come across my Twitter feed over the years, I gather that they have a difficult relationship, a complicated relationship.
I don't even know half the players on the team.
Okay.
Oh, man. Scottie, love you. But yeah, better days ahead for this Bulls team. And too bad Scottie won't be around for that. But at least not from a close at any point.
He got fired.
He got fired. That is for sure. He made it known to everybody on national TV as well. But let's get into some players. Let's talk about the players. Let's talk a little bit about some of the audio we didn't get to on the last episode, because I find it interesting. I know you guys probably don't have the time. I don't know if you're as obsessed with the Bulls as Matt and I might be, but you probably didn't have the time to go and listen to every single one of these guys' press conferences, because it's happening on the daily, which shout out to the Bulls' social media and the team that's doing all their media relations, just allowing those to be available almost immediately after they're happening for fans to be able to watch and for us to be able to listen to and react to as well on YouTube. So if you are interested in hearing full press conferences, you can check that out on Bulls' YouTube. They've been doing a great job with that. But Matt, I wanted to go to Otto Porter Jr. first. I think he's the most intriguing player on this team to talk about in terms of what his role is going to be this year and sort of unknown expectations for him. Here's what he had to say, though, about Patrick Williams, the rookie, because I was curious what his thoughts were with only being here for on one more year left on a deal, and I don't see him being here long term. But here's what he had to say about Patrick Williams.
You know, Patrick is unbelievable talent, very bright young man. He's definitely come up to me asking a million questions already, which is very good for us, especially in his development. I think he's going to be very key for us as he's starting to play a little bit more. You know, they don't have summer league, so he's definitely going to be in there with us going to war. So, yeah, he's just, you know, I was in that position coming in at 19 and, you know, looking to the veteran guy. So my job is to pass down information. So, you know, to help out the younger guys, get acclimated quicker, because we're going to need him, believe it or not, we're going to need him to get acquainted quicker, and faster. So
interesting that he said that he thinks about himself when he sees Patrick Williams too, because consider Otto. I mean, Otto's only what, 26 years old. He's been in the league a long time, but he was drafted at a really young age as well. But it is kind of cool, even if it would be only for a year, for maybe Patrick Williams to pick up some offensive tips from Otto Porter, and also what it's like to get paid and have all this pressure on him too. I think picking the brains of a guy like that, playing the same position, same type of player as Pat Will, I think that's great for him in his rookie year, and it's cool that Otto sees some stuff in him too as well.
Yeah, and I think the key phrase you just used right there is picking his brain. You heard Otto say that Pat has already been asking a lot of questions. The way Otto delivered it, it even kind of sounded like he was joking in a way that made it seem like Otto's, been asked maybe too many questions for Pat Will already, because he's just that eager to learn. But that's the really encouraging thing, because that's also what we heard from Pat Williams right out of the gate in his first press conference, you know, media availability at training camp. And somebody was asking him, you know, what's your goal right now? What's your goal to start this season? And he just said, learn as much as possible. I understand that I'm young. I'm going to try to come in and contribute right away in whatever ways I can. But while doing that, I have all these people as my teammates that have somewhere between 1 and 15 years of NBA experience more than I do. And I'm here to learn. And that's the right attitude for a kid to have.
And shout out to Kali, too. He asked him specifically today, Patrick Williams today, if like what he expects in his rookie year and if he feels his path to playing time might be playing really great defense. And that was a great question. And he paired it with comparing it to Jimmy Butler's start. And like, I'm not comparing the two players, and neither was Kali, but just saying like his path to playing time was playing excellent defense and playing his role to a T. And wondering if that's the same way that Patrick Williams is going to approach this season. And he just said he wants to do everything he can to contribute. And whatever the coaches ask of him, to be able to do that and absorb as much information as possible. Similar to what you were just saying. And I think that's so cool, man. And listening to him and Kobe White, man, I don't know what they put in the water in North Carolina, but these dudes just, they exude positivity and optimism and seem like they're always coming from a good place. I don't know. Every time I hear Kobe talk and every time I've heard Patrick Williams talk, it's just loads of positivity, and it's awesome to hear. And once again, seems like a common theme, but very refreshing to hear.
Absolutely. I'm expecting that we'll only continue to hear more comments like that from Otto and some of Pat Will's more well-versed NBA teammates, who will continue to teach him everything that they can while simultaneously being in awe of just how much of a sponge this kid is in absorbing all this information. Because, you know, Pat Will's, some of his initial comments about, yeah, it's fast, you know, even playing with NBA teammates as opposed to playing at the college level, let alone playing against, you know, NBA competition. He's already talking about that difference in pace that we were kind of also talking about with Kobe White and Billy Donovan's thoughts on that transition for young players in the NBA. But that Billy Donovan seems pretty impressed already by just how quickly Pat Will is picking things up. And I'm pretty sure his teammates are too. Jordan, we got lots more to get to, breaking down what we have heard and seen so far in Bulls training camp. Before we do that, though, I wanted to tell our Locked On Bulls listeners about this really great thing that I've started to use recently, because things are crazy and stressful for pretty much everybody right now. And it's hard to find time to just, you know, maintain some semblance of inner peace and sanity while you're busy as ever and terrified of a pandemic and all these crazy things. So, you know, wouldn't it be great if there were, say, a pocket-sized guide that helped you sleep and focus and act and be better? Well, there is. And if you have just 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. It's one of only a few meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Overwhelmed? Headspace has a three-minute SOS meditation for you. Need some help falling asleep? Headspace has wind-down sessions their members swear by. And for you parents out there, Headspace even has morning meditations you can do with your kids to get your day off on the right foot. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. I like to use it with the wind down sessions before bed that I've started using recently. I've already noticed that I'm sleeping better. I'm waking up more refreshed. I also like to use it for 5 to 10 minutes, like in the middle of my day, mid to late afternoon, you know, just to help me kind of clear my mind for that last push to get me through the rest of the day. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Right now, if our listeners go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA, they can get a free 1 month trial. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free 1 month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered anywhere right now. So head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today.
I'm not going to dispute you on that. You're right.
Before we go back away from Otto Porter and hear from Coby White, let's talk about Otto Porter's role, Matt, because I think that there's a lot of potential confusion about what his role might be on this team and why. Let me give you a bold take. What happens if Patrick Williams impresses so well over the next couple of weeks and even some of these preseason games where it's enough to convince Billy Donovan that maybe this isn't the worst idea if we can keep Otto on a minutes limit to make sure that he's able to stay healthy for an entire season by bringing him off the bench in a limited role and allowing Patrick Williams to start at the three, at least for right now in the short term? What do you think about that, or potentially somebody else starting instead of Patrick Williams, but ultimately just Otto Porter coming off the bench to start the year as opposed to starting at the three?
I mean, if you're not starting Otto, who are you starting?
See, that's the question, is like, did Patrick Williams play well enough to start him right away and sort of stagger his minutes along with Chandler Hutchison enough so maybe Otto's closing games in scenarios where you need defense, maybe you close with Pat Will, but you start with him? I really think that there's going to be a lot of situations where they play with Otto at the four as opposed to the three. Again, Billy Donovan talked about them running a lot of different lineups with a lot of different players. Part of that just being he feels like as a philosophy, as a coach, that's something that helps with competitiveness, getting to know your teammates a little bit better. But he also gets the opportunity to see guys play with each other, play differently with different lineups, different teammates, and see how different things work in order to get to that preseason lineup, which we don't even know who's going to start in that preseason. We have an idea, but we don't know for sure. My question is, though, is if the Bulls are maybe looking to trade him towards the deadline, you want to keep him healthy, but you also want to show teams, hey, he's healthy and he's actually somewhat productive. You're telling me that there's little to no possibility that he comes off the bench to start the season, or you don't see it as a possibility?
I don't see what the benefit is. I mean, I know you're saying keep him healthy, keep his minutes at a reasonable level so that he can, you know, maintain some semblance of trade value as an expiring contract going up to the deadline. I get that. tinkering around with different lineups, playing Pat Will at the three and the four, seeing if, you know, we can get some kind of answer on whether or not Hutch is a piece worth keeping. You know, keep Denzel on the floor for his three-point shooting and his passing ability, his transition offense. Yes, okay, these are all nice flowery things we're talking about. Otto Porter Jr. is your best player at the three. Start him at the three. It's not that complicated to me.
I guess maybe I'm buying into more of the comments than I should of Billy Donovan talking about how he wants to keep Porter's minutes limited. That just being, once again, for health reasons alone. But I also think that there's
right. So, if you want to, start Otto and have him be the first one pulled and put Pat Will in there as the first guy off the bench. If you want to, if you're that excited about getting Pat Will minutes and you're that concerned about Otto not playing too many minutes, Billy Donovan can come up with a rotation. He's a smart guy. Unlike Boylan, he can actually, you know, have a rotation that makes sense, and he can tinker around with different rotations and see what works and what doesn't. But we're making a mountain out of a molehill here when it comes to Otto and minutes. I don't get it.
I'm curious where they're going to play Chandler Hutchison too, or what they think of him. Like, I, from the surface level, I know what they think of him, but again, a guy that played
behind the hot dog stand, that's where they're playing.
See, I don't believe that. I really don't believe that, but maybe it's
No, that was just me being a smartass.
Otto, though, the one thing that maybe you could say there's a way in which he comes off the bench is a team is intrigued enough but says don't go heavy on the minutes. But you're right. Maybe there is a rotation where he only plays with the starters when the starters are on the floor and not all the time. But you can have rotations coming off that bench where you got Thad and Hutchison playing the three and the four, and you've got Pat Will playing the three and the four with Thad. So there are rotations which Otto is off the floor but not playing with the starters. So that does make some sense. Maybe I'm buying in too much of the comments about Billy Donovan saying limiting his minutes.
I think Billy Donovan was just stressing how important a healthy Otto is to this team.
True.
To me, that's a bigger thing than we're trying to keep him, you know, wrapped in bubble wrap so that we can trade him at the deadline. I think watching the tape when Donovan took this job, he realized pretty quickly, oh, the Bulls were a halfway decent team with Otto on the floor. And when he wasn't on the floor, they fucking sucked. That's what Donovan recognized. And that's what he's talking about, in my opinion. He knows just how crucial Otto is to this team's success, because he saw what this team looked like over the past year and a half with Otto and without him. And that means, yeah, he needs to stay healthy so that he can be on the floor a lot, helping us win games.
Case in point. No, you're right. 100% right. And it only helps Otto's value if he does go out there and start every night, shows the capability of doing that. And then maybe a team calls you right before the trade deadline and says, hey, here's what we've got to offer. At least that's that. There's a path for that. And that makes some sense too. Yeah, the Bulls' best team by far in these last 3 years has been when Otto was on the floor in our magic fairy tale February that we had.
He arrived and the Bulls went 7-5 in their next 12 games.
It's crazy. That and like between that February and Nico's 6-week run in the first year of the rebuild was just absolute insanity. We don't talk enough about that, or maybe we shouldn't talk enough about that.
I think we talked plenty about that and should never talk about it ever again. Not that we don't love Wendell.
True. And
those 6 Nico wins screwed us out of getting Luka.
Yes.
Although, you know, Gar and Vlade were probably commiserating about how much they weren't impressed by Luka.
Yeah, we're not going to think about that. Let's go to W's, though, and what the Bulls can improve on going into this year. Thomas Adoransky talked about what the one thing that held the Bulls back last year, and yeah, make your jokes, make your boiling jokes here. I know you guys want to, you're thinking about it. But seriously, Matt, something that we left off on yesterday's podcast was talking about how many games the Bulls blew late down in the stretch of the last 5 minutes. You play in 32 games and you go 11-22. Or 11-21. There's an obvious problem there. And so Thomas Adoransky asked about closing games and what's the most important thing for the Bulls to do and improve on this season if it's just one thing.
Well, I think we really what we did last season was competing, but we just weren't able to, you know, finish those games, and we were so close all the time. But I think at the one point we kind of stopped believing in us that we can do that. You know, I think the first message from the coach was that we are the, you know, we should be having mentality like a winning team. That's what we focus on, because I think we have a great group of guys. That was the most challenging and frustrating part about losing last year, because I think this team and this group has a lot of talent, and they put a lot of work in. And so I think this is going to be the biggest, you know, goal to do for next year. Obviously, other things are different adjustment, different style of play under Billy. But I think this is the most important one.
And to think, Matt, that we didn't even have a fully healthy roster really at any point in the season. Throughout the entire season last year, and the Bulls were still in a third of the games. Like, that's crazy to think on a surface level. As an optimistic look for this year is, damn, man, like, we had Jim Boylan as our head coach, didn't have a healthy roster, and still in half of these games. Like, to me, that has to flip at some point. And if you're now buying into what the coach is selling you night after night with a brand new system, brand new philosophy, as opposed to what Boylan does, look at what that says about a head coach and a locker room and chemistry. You stop believing in yourself, you don't believe in what the coach is doing night after night, it destroys teams even when you do have talent. The way Satoransky is saying it sounds familiar, football team. What do you think about that?
I mean, yes, it does. Of course it sounds familiar, because we all lived it. And yes, this pandemic that shut down the Bulls for 9 months lasted a long time. And that's why we're all so excited to get this new season underway, because it feels like it's taken forever. But at the same time, those memories are not too far in the rearview mirror for Sato and for all of his teammates who, I mean, I have, when he was talking about that, when you were just playing that clip just now, I immediately got a mental image of a camera panning across the Bulls bench late at the end of a game, another game that they coughed up that they should have won, and just the despondent looks on all their faces. And how much that crushed me as a fan to know that the players that I cheer for, representing the team and the city that I care about, were all that dejected and ready for it to be over. That's a you know, hard thing to realize and a hard thing to face. And I think Sato and his teammates were well aware that that was the situation by, you know, their umpteenth blown game last season. And hopefully under some different leadership and guidance, and all of these players getting better and having plenty of players who aren't afraid to execute and know how to execute down, you know, the stretch of those games, we'll see them start to win some of those winnable games that got away, because that's how they can actually make a jump. You know, you and I talked a little bit about this team. You know, you mentioned 11 and 21 in those 32, you know, clutch games. We also know that they went 2-23 against 500 teams last season. They beat up on bad teams. They lost to mediocre teams, and they got crushed by good teams. So if they're going to start beating some of those mediocre teams to get closer to a 500 basketball team, they need to win the close ones that they didn't know how to win last year.
It's so crazy to think about. Like you were saying, I had scary flashbacks in my head, Matt. Like when you're talking about games that are popping into your head that you kind of forgot about or stuck at the very back of your Bulls brain. Do you remember when the Lakers came to town and we had a 22-point lead on them in going into the second half, and we embarrassed ourselves and allowed the Lakers to come back and win?
No, Big Dave neuralized that memory out of my brain. He did me a solid on that one.
But it's like the games like that, there were so many of those last year that we tend to forget. Like 33 out of the possible, what did they play, 62 games last year? That's a lot of games to be losing.
Or like that game against OKC when we went to the fourth quarter with that huge lead, and CP3 ran that same pick and roll, and the Bulls went under the screen every fucking time, and CP3 drained 5 fourth quarter threes and we lost. Yeah. There are plenty of examples that I do still very much remember, because those sores have not fully healed yet.
I think now that the Bulls have a voice that they believe in and multiple talents around this team that are actually healthy and buying into what the Bulls are selling them this year, and they can do that with a fresh philosophy, I think it's going to bode well for them late in games. Like, I'm hoping that they start the season where they have one or two of those games or they end up closing those games, and it starts off well, because I just don't want to go back down a path where the Bulls all of a sudden were 20 games into the season, they had five games which were in clutch time, and they're 1-4 in those games. Like, that's the confidence level that can kind of snowball, and we saw it perfectly last year. Bulls losing night after night in closed fashion, and it was like, sitting here every single night after we'd watch those games, we'd ask ourselves, what was the way that the Bulls blew a game this time? And that can snowball for those players too. And again, it eventually leads to things like Tom Satoransky is saying, and that they didn't believe in themselves anymore. So I think it's going to be refreshing, Matt. I think we're going to be in a lot more games than people think initially, but it's about that matter of closing those games, and that's something that they definitely need to improve on. Before we get out of here, Matt, and I know we kind of went long, but wanted to kind of talk about a little bit of the rotation stuff, but hearing from...
before you do that, let me get this Bilko read in here real quick.
Oh, shit. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Before we wrap up with a couple more thoughts from training camp, Jordan, wanted to tell our listeners about Built Go from the people who brought you those delicious protein bars, Built Bar. It is Built Go. Whether your wall is a mental or physical one, break through it with Built Go every day. Built Go is a protein gel that comes in easy 1.5-ounce packages. Put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, or just put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling that you get. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink, but with only a third of all that caffeine, and better results. Best of all, it comes in three delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. And how does Built Go work so well? Well, it combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into the system fast. Plus, it's easy on your stomach. It's loaded with good stuff to ignite your workout, like beta-alanine, B3, honey, and just a kick of caffeine. Collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better in addition to feeling better and more energized. Right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners, if they go to visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order. Once again, that's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go.
All right, best of Coby White here. Let's go rapid fire. Obvious question is going to continue to be asked probably the entire season as he gets acclimated to finally kind of taking over the offense for once, and for the good or the bad, and we'll see the ups and downs of Coby White's season this year. But here's him being asked about that and what he feels like the decisions will be and how he improved.
Like I said, we've been getting better each and every day. Playing with the guys, and my decision making just came a long way from last year. But I still got a ways to go for sure. Like I said, it's gonna be ups and downs, and you gotta keep moving, gotta keep getting better. That's all I can ask for.
When you say it's come a long way from last year, what specifically do you see as being different in the way that you're processing the game and the way that you're reacting to things?
I'm just slowing down. I think last year I kind of played at one speed a lot, especially in the half court, just slowing the game down a little bit, making decisions off ball screens, and I feel like for me, it's just making a simple play, not making it harder than what it needs to be. So.
It's a good point, Matt. Like, there's a lot of times last year that the same things that were said about LaVine could have been said about Coby White. Stupid turnovers, just careless errors, maybe defensively, a breakdown, a mismatch, things like that, quick errors that Coby White can correct himself. And it sounds like he took the entire quarantine to make himself better. And that's the one thing, Matt, is like all of these guys that are coming back now, who went and tried to actually improve their game this offseason, during this lockdown when the Bulls didn't have any games going on. Who is that guy? And I think we're going to see a lot of those guys that did put the work in, like Coby, take a bigger leap than maybe we thought before. But what do you think about his thoughts on like decision-making, playmaking? Does that give you a little bit more confidence going into the season as him maybe being the primary point guard of this team?
Yeah, to me, it's all about what he mentioned with things slowing down a little bit. And I think that has like two different meanings in a way, where everything starts to slow down a little bit when you are in the league for another year and another year, and the game, like, your mind catches up to the speed at which the NBA game is played. So I think that's kind of what Kobe's talking about with things slowing down a little bit, but also just in a very literal sense, slowing down at times and realizing, okay, here's where I need to recognize that this transition opportunity is not here. I'm going to pull it back and I'm going to see what I can do reading this defense and then make a decision from there, whether it's getting into a pick and roll, a pick and pop, a drive and kick, whatever it might be. Kobe was a firecracker last year. And I think Bulls fans at times got frustrated that Boylan was keeping the training wheels on him, so to speak. And Bulls fans wanted to see that explosive speed of Kobe White getting the ball in the Bulls backcourt and just running downhill with it and seeing what he could create for himself or maybe a teammate. And while that was good and exciting, and it was great for us to all realize that part of Kobe's game and the potential that's there with that because it's exponential, the other element to can he be this team's lead playmaking guard is when can he slow the game down and actually become that floor general and not only rely on his speed but be able to play a half-court offense. And do I have faith that that part of his game will evolve and take a step in the right direction this year? Yes. Why? Jim Boylan was only good at telling the Bulls that they had to crawl before they could walk, before they could run, right? That's the phrase that he used. And he was like, I'm going to break us down to parts and I'm going to build us back together. Didn't work. It was a nice flowery turn of phrase for Jim, but it didn't work. But you know what Jim wasn't? A point guard at the highest levels of competitive basketball. You know who was? Billy Donovan. You know who else was? Mo Cheeks. Kobe actually has people that can, you know, take them under their wing and say, okay, your speed, your explosiveness, it's great. It's a fantastic weapon for you. Now let's teach you the other elements to being one of the floor generals of this game.
He's not not.
It's a good point. As a former player, Billy Donovan can speak to those guys. And like even Kobe White was asked, like, what's the most important thing you've learned about Mo Cheeks since being there and getting to start to form a relationship with him? And he's like, pointed out that he's going to tell you what you need to hear, and it sometimes won't be exactly what you want to hear. And from a Hall of Famer, I think that carries a lot of weight as well. So I think you're right, man. I think there's a lot of good things to expect from all of these guys, and just the constant theme with him and a lot of these players in this team is that there is a hunger and a fight and a want to win and to get better every single day. And that wasn't something that I think we could have necessarily said last year, considering all the injuries, considering the ups and downs. And just, I think at some point, some guys were just like, you know what, just get me to the end of the season. Let me get out of here. Let me get out of this mess. And didn't necessarily think about their development or ultimately the team's development when you're losing night after night like that. So I think just like the refreshing mindset for everybody and sort of a reset for everyone is going to benefit them. Although, I mean, we say that, and then we look at the first 20 games of this schedule, and it's just absolutely brutal, man.
Right. I was going to say, now that we're getting all excited about how this team's going to make all these great strides under Billy Donovan, and Kobe's going to get better, and Pat Williams is going to be an exciting rookie year for him, and you know, we haven't really even touched that much yet on Wendell expanding and exploding out his offensive game. Keep in mind, this schedule is brutal. This team we'll have to learn on the fly, and that might involve dropping some games out of the gate here. But it's not going to make me lose faith in what we're going through right now in this new fresh page that we have. So, you know, I hope that our fellow Bulls fans won't lose hope if the Bulls, you know, start 3-6 again and think, oh, well, more of the same crap. No, it's not.
If you build it, they will come.
A little adversity, a little tough time, a little uncomfortableness.
I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks for listening today's episode. Get into plenty of your mailbag questions on tomorrow's episode, as well as more stuff from training camp and preview the first preseason game of this Bulls season on Friday. So all of that and more, you can drop your questions at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Nelly, and at Bulls underscore Peck on Twitter. 331-979-1369, the place to hit us up. Your text messages, your voicemails. If you're an international listener and can't get to our text and voicemail line or not on social media, you can always email us to at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com